Now, due to God's goodness and God's mercy, the harvest season is upon us again. And indeed, favorable weather over this last few weeks and months has meant that the crops are being safely gathered in from our fields. And once again, the Lord has been true to His own word and His own promise that while earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time. There will always be a seed time. There will always be a harvest time. And over this special weekend here in your church as a congregation, you're publicly giving thanks to the Lord for His goodness in the material harvest of the land. And that is good to do. Indeed, the psalmist says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Well, in our text this morning here in Galatians chapter 6 and the verse number 9, we are reminded of another harvest time. And this harvest time concerns the Christian and his work for his Savior, the Lord. In this book before this, Apostle Paul has been dealing with the great doctrine of the sinner's justification by faith alone in Christ alone. What do we mean by justification? It means the sinner being saved. The man or woman, the boy or girl, knowing their sins forgiven, knowing peace with God, knowing power in their life to live for God, and the assurance of eternal life in heaven. If you turn back to Galatians chapter 2 in the verse 16, you'll see there how Paul deals with that matter. And he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And in that verse there, Paul makes it very clear that a man is not saved by his good works. He is not saved by his own self-righteousness or by anything of man. No, a man is not saved by good works. Rather, he is saved by faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. Maybe there's one in our meeting this morning and you're not saved. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today personally as your Savior. Well, friend, let me say to you today that if you are to be right with God, if you are to be saved by the grace of God, if you are to know the forgiveness of all of your sins, if you're to know the fetters of sin that bind your life broken and power to live for God, and if you're to be sure of heaven whenever you come to die and whenever you come to leave the scene of time, then, friend, you must close in with Christ as He's offered in the gospel. Your faith and your trust as a repentant sinner must be in Christ and Christ alone. For the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, friend, you need to be anchored in Christ. You need Christ as your Savior. Christ is your Redeemer. But then whenever we come here to Galatians chapter 6, Paul is moving on, as it were, from that great truth of justification by faith alone. And here in this chapter, he is dealing with the subject of good works in the life of the Christian. The life of all those who are saved is to be marked by good works. Again, writing to the church at Ephesus about this matter, the apostle says the Christian is saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Apostle James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Again, he could say, faith without works is a dead faith. In other words, it's just a false, empty profession. Well, here in verse 9 of this chapter 6 of Galatians, Paul is dealing with the matter of good works in the life of the Christian. For he speaks there of well-doing in the life of the believer. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yes, as well as reminding here the child of God of the need for their life to be marked with well-doing, These words also encourage the believer to be steadfast, to be firm, to be fervent in the Lord's work, in the Lord's cause, and in the Lord's kingdom. Yes, these words here remind the Christian surely of the law of the harvest. And that law is this, that if we be faithful in our labors for God, then there will be a harvest in God's cause and God's kingdom. Did not Jesus say to the disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain"? And my, this was a truth that Paul the Apostle himself never lost sight of in his own life and witness for the Lord, writing to the church at Corinth. He could say, "God giveth the increase in you." God can give the harvest time spiritually in his cause and in his kingdom. Indeed, because of that, Paul pressed on in the work of God and the cause of Christ, even in the good times and in the difficult times. He could say, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." O child of God this morning, faithfulness in God's work and God's kingdom, it always leads to a reaping. It always leads to fruit in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And as we look then at this verse 9 before us this morning, I trust that every one of us in this gathering who are saved by the grace of God, you and I alike will be encouraged in our day, encouraged in our generation to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice first of all with me from this verse, notice the Christian's duty. And you'll see the Christian's duty summed up there by two words in our text. It is the words, well-doing. Paul says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There you see that once we are saved, our life is to be marked by well-doing. This well-doing, it concerns our duty to the Lord. When we are saved by the grace of God, we are to worship the Lord. We are to glorify the Lord. We are to live for the Lord and His cause and His kingdom. Think of the first question in the shorter catechism. The question is, what is man's chief end? The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are to glorify God in our life when we're saved. We're to enjoy the Lord, live for the Lord, and serve Him. Is that not what we are told in the Scriptures? The Bible says to the believer, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Remember the counsel of Christ to the disciples. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." We're to seek first God's cause, God's kingdom in our life. This well-doing, it also concerns our duty to ourselves as believers personally. By when we are saved by the grace of God, we have a responsibility to pray. A responsibility to daily feed our hearts upon the Word of God. Did not Jesus say that men ought always to pray and not to faint? Did not Jesus say, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord"? Brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are to be noted for well doing that, then prayer and the reading and the study of God's Word must have a place in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Also, we can say today that this well-doing concerns our duty toward our neighbors. Yes, we have responsibilities toward those who are both saved and unsaved in life. Look at what Paul says in verse 10 of this chapter. He says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Also, this well-doing concerns the matter of us dealing graciously with the backslider. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. Notice what Paul says there. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." how we're to deal graciously with the backslider as God's people. It also means that we're to help those who are burdened down in life. Notice how Paul emphasizes that in verse 2 of this chapter. He says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When someone is burdened down in life with trials and difficulties, as God's people, we're to do all we can to help them and encourage them. This well-doing also concerns support for God's servants in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Look at verse 6 of the chapter. Notice what Paul says there. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate." In other words, give unto him that teacheth in all good things. And dear people of God, yes, you are to support your minister in a physical sense and missionaries in a physical sense and a material sense. But most importantly of all, you're to support your minister and others that are faithful in the work of God by your prayers, by your sympathy, by your cooperation and help and support in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Then we can say also this morning that this well-doing, it concerns us taking the gospel to the unsaved. How important that is. Remember the great commission of Christ to his people. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And why we should make that our chief goal in life when we're saved, to do all we can to further the gospel of Christ. Yes, dear believer in Christ, you can preach and proclaim the gospel as the Lord gives you opportunity. Giving out a gospel tract, a gospel leaflet, helping in a children's meeting, helping in a Sunday school class by personal evangelism, by inviting friends under the sound of the word of God. You're having a gospel mission soon. Do all you can to gather your family and friends and neighbors under the sound of God's word. Bring people with you to hear God's word as it is preached here week by week. You know, there was once a dear saint of God, and she was housebound, and she was greatly burdened and distressed about this matter. She felt she was failing in her part in the Great Commission, that there wasn't much she could do for the Lord, or many people she could speak to about the Lord. And her minister was there and speaking to her and sought to encourage her and give her counsel. And he spoke to the woman and says, "Well, who do you meet on a regular basis throughout the week?" And she listed different people that did come to her house. There was the postman, the milkman, the grocery man, the meter man, the home helps, the carers, and a whole host of people that come in on a regular basis. He says, "Well, you can start with these people." And so she did, started witnessing to them, giving to them the gospel of Christ. There's a brother in Christ I know, his son is involved in the work of God today. He's out in the foreign mission field. I was talking to his father recently, there visiting with him in the home, and he was just speaking about his son when he was young, in his early teenage years, 12, 13 and 14. He was saying that he and his wife used to be concerned about their son on a Sunday afternoon. They lived in a farm out in the country. But he said he would head off across the fields on a Sunday afternoon with his Wellingtons on, and with his shoes with him, and with a bag with him, and wouldn't come back for hours till later on that evening. And they wondered what on earth was going on, and what was he doing. They found out. He would rock across the fields to the nearest road, and he'd head out each Lord's Day afternoon. He'd put the wellies at the side and the ditch, put on the shoes, and up the road to the different towns and villages in his community, giving out gospel tracts, knocking the doors, giving out the gospel, encouraging people in his neighborhood to come to Christ and to seek the Lord. And that's to be our great work when we're saved, dear people. Turning your Bible back to Acts chapter 1 and the verse number 8. And look at what the Lord says to you and I who are saved by the grace of God. It says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Notice the command, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And we know the power of the Spirit of God coming upon us. Where are we to start? Jerusalem, that's home. Judea, places near to home and then to Samaria, and the thought is out unto the uttermost part of the world. Wherever God would lead us, wherever God would open up doors for a child of God, once you are saved by the grace of God, be up and doing for the Lord. Do all you can to spread the gospel of Christ. For does not the Bible say, the night cometh when no man can work? Yes, we see here the Christian's duty. But notice secondly here in our text this morning, notice the Christian's danger. And that danger in our text in Galatians 6 and verse 7 is summed up by two words. You can mark them in the verse. It is the word weary and the word faint. Notice what Paul says. He says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Think of that word weary. What does it mean? That word weary there in the context of the chapter, it means to lose heart. It means to lose interest. The word faint there really means a failure to coordinate and complete an action or complete a deed. And you think of a person when they physically faint, they can no longer coordinate any physical action in their body and in their powers. Likewise, we can draw the parallel there, spiritual faintness. What does it mean? No power to do anything for the Lord. No power to do anything for the Lord's will, the Lord's cause, and the Lord's kingdom. And my spiritual weariness always leads to spiritual faintness. Indeed, it was Thomas Watson, one of the great Puritan preachers, who said, despair always cuts the sinew of the endeavor. And my, whenever the Christian becomes spiritually faint and weary, my, his work for God ceases. His witness for the Lord is set to the one side, and Satan gets the victory, and Satan gets the glory. I remember some years ago, and a brother in Christ involved in a missionary organization speaking in our own church, and he was speaking of other missionaries who had labored for the Lord faithfully for many years in the land of Mongolia, out in the far east near China. But they'd got discouraged, they'd got weary, they became faint. And they gave up their work for the Lord in that land, and the door closed. And there was no longer anyone else there to carry on the work of God. Faintness and weariness had set in. Even to those who were the very best, as we might say, of the Lord's people. This happened with Ephraim in the day of ancient Israel. Turning your Bible back to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And look at what the Word of God says here about ancient Israel, in particular about the children of Ephraim. Look at verse 9 and then verse 41 of Psalm 78. Notice what the Word says. It says, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. Notice what it says. They turned back on the day of battle. They had arms, they had bows, they had everything they needed. Yet we're told they turned back on the day of battle, on the day of adversity. Look at verse 41 of the same chapter as God goes on further to speak about them. He says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Here they were going on. Here they were going forward. Then something happened and they turned back. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned back from the cause and the kingdom of the Lord. My, when I read that, I'm reminded of those at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 6, who were following the Lord for a while. And then they turned away from the Lord. The Lord turned to the disciples and said, will ye also go away? O brethren and sisters in Christ, if we succumb to spiritual weariness and spiritual faintness, will end up turning back in the day of battle. We'll end up ceasing in our work for the Lord, and our witness and our testimony for the Lord will be hindered. It will not progress as it once progressed. Can I say this is a danger that can affect every believer? If you look at our text, you'll notice how Paul uses the word us there. He includes himself. This is the great apostle Paul, the great missionary, the great theologian, the great preacher, and he says, let us, includes himself, not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What does it say over in the book of Isaiah? It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. No matter how long you're saved this morning by the grace of God, this is a danger, this is a pitfall that any one of us who are saved this morning can fall into and can succumb to. Surely is that not why Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What is the cause of the spiritual faintness? Well, I believe one of the causes that can cause it is physical exhaustion. You have an example of that in the life of the great prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 19, for he wished there that he might die. And he ran for his life from that wicked woman Jezebel. And it was after a time of great physical exertion when he repaired the altar and when he had slain the prophets of Baal. Oh, if we are to avoid that exhaustion, then as God's people we need to rest. And take time with the Lord and His Word daily. And in the time of prayer. Did not Jesus say to the disciples, come ye apart and rest a while? He invited them to come and fellowship with Himself. They were busy in the work of God, yet they needed to come apart and to rest with Him so that they might be encouraged and given strength to go on with the battle. I don't know if you can remember men cutting the scythes. I'm sure the young folk would never remember that, but the older folk would maybe remember those that would have cut the grass around the country with a scythe. There was a man beside us at home. He hadn't a car, but he had a bicycle and he had a scythe. I can remember it yet when I was small. He used to tie the scythe to the bicycle and off away he would go to cut and mow grass and hay for other men in the countryside. But you know, he always took a sharpening stone or hone with him, and when he was doing the work for a while, he would stop. And why would he stop? He would get the stone out and he would sharpen the blade so that he could go on and continue on with the work on hand during the day. No doubt if he hadn't have stopped and hadn't have sharpened the blade, the work would have ceased. And he wouldn't have done the work that he had planned to do. And is there not a thought there for us? We need to take time out, even in this busy world, as God's people, to come apart with the Lord, spend time in prayer and in the Word of God, that we might be encouraged to go on. Then another cause can be spiritual exhaustion. You read of Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and this is what he says. He speaks of weariness in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. He speaks of the care of all the churches, and the care of God's work had caused him to be weary, even as he served the Lord. And if we are to avoid that weariness, then as God's people, in God's work and whatever we do for the Lord, we need to learn to cast the care of the work upon the Lord Himself. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Maybe you're involved in some particular aspect of God's work here, somewhere else this morning, and maybe there's problems, burdens, difficulties, fears. Christian, learn to cast those cares of that work upon the Lord. Does not the psalmist say, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee and never suffer the righteous to be moved? Then another cause for faintness can be barrenness in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. There was once a child of God who was very faithful in giving out gospel literature. Yet he himself didn't personally see many results, and he ceased to do that work. He left it aside, and later on in the providence of God, he met with a young man, and in the providence of God, it turned out to be one of the tracts that that young man received from that man many years earlier, that he was saved by the grace of God and brought into the family of God, and might encourage that man to take up the work and to go on again. Oh, people, yes, there will be barrenness, and we must remember that the Bible warns of such times in God's work. What's the mark of the end times? The Lord says, the love of many shall wax cold. When Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. He said to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. This is a day of hardness against the gospel across our land. This is a day when faithful preaching of the Word of God is not liked by many across the nation. It's a day when the love of many to the things of God is waxing cold. Yet we're not to neglect God's work. We're still to press on with the battle and the work of God. And then another cause for faintness and weariness can be discouragement from God's own people. And that happened with Gideon. You turn back in your Bible, please, to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8, and you'll see this in the life of Gideon. He was pursuing the Midianites. He got the victory. He was pursuing after their princess, and he was faint yet pursuing. Yet he went to his own people for help in the battle, and he didn't find it. Look at verse 6. Of Judges chapter 8. It says, "And the princes of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna," that's the princes of the Midians, "now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army?" He was appealing to them for bread, for food, that they might go on and rout the enemy completely. But he didn't get it from those where he should have got it from. Now, whenever William Carey spoke of his burden to be a missionary in the land of India, it was oftentimes even those who professed the name of Christ that were most opposed to him. And one believer said to William Carey, "Sit down, young man. If God wants to evangelize the heathen, he'll do it. He doesn't need you." But Carey wasn't put off. He looked to the Lord. And he went on with the work of God and the cause of Christ. What does the Bible say to you and I as God's people? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, "Look not to men, vain is the help of man, but look to the Lord." Writing to God's people in his day, the prophet Isaiah says, "O Zion, behold your God." O dear believer in Christ, in your work and in your, you do your service for the Lord, keep your eyes upon the Lord. Look to the Lord. And in the Lord and in his word, and in his person, you'll find encouragement and succor and strength to go on in the things of the Lord. Notice finally, just from our text this morning, notice the Christian's encouragement. Notice what it says here. Notice the little phrase, "we shall reap." Notice what it says. "And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season," note the words, "we shall reap if we faint not." Now you see, the harvest is certain. "We shall reap," says the Apostle Paul. Writing to the church at Corinth, he could say, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase." My, the hymn writer says, "We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." That speaks of a certain harvest. You'll notice there that the harvest is in God's appointed season. He says, "We shall reap in due season." When the farmer sows his seed in the springtime, he doesn't expect the harvest the next day. He's got to wait to God's harvest time in the autumn season. And likewise in God's work, we've got to patiently wait for the harvest time of blessing. And Peter says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters and thou shalt find it after many days." I once heard it said, what describes a man being faithful in the work of God? It is this: what it takes to stop him in his work for God and in his service for the Lord. And we are to be patient in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Robert Moffat was a missionary in South Africa. It was over 10 years, after 10 years of faithful service, before he saw one convert to Christ. Yet he pressed on and he looked to the Lord. Notice just there the condition for this harvest. Notice what Paul says. He says, "We shall reap." Notice the words, "if we faint not." My harvest blessing in God's work is for those who do not cease in this great work of well-doing. Did not Paul say to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Dear people of God, if we do nothing for the Lord, leave off God's work, then we'll see no blessing in God's work. But if we live for the Lord and live for his work, we shall see days of blessing in his cause and kingdom. Look at what Paul says in verses 7 and 8, reinforcing the law of the harvest here. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." God has promised that we shall reap if we faint not. Turn with me back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And there's a wee verse here that I just want to leave with you in closing. I trust that it will encourage you to press on here in the work of God and in the cause of Christ, knowing that there is a harvest time, knowing there's a day of blessing. And look at what Solomon says just at the beginning of verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 14. Notice the words, "In all labor there is profit." Now that's God's word. What an encouragement then for us as God's people to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and to be not slothful but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. My our text says today, "Let us not be weary in well doing, but in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, child of God, go on serving the Lord. Go on living for the Lord. Go on witnessing for Christ. Go on in the Sabbath school work, the children's work, the youth work. Whatever work God puts to your hand, press on. The Bible says, "In all labor there is profit." There's a day of reaping. There's a day of rejoicing. There's a day of harvest. May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.